Hi there, and welcome to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Pastor Joe Jackowitz is the president of First Love Ministries and pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. With him are Rich Hormerez and Bobby Hamlin, meeting up in various areas around town for coffee, tea, and conversation of eternal importance. Join us, won't you, for Bible Talk.
Well, once again, it's so nice having you join us as we gather at different places around town to meet, have a cup of coffee, tea, or a glass of water, and visit around God's Word, the Bible, on Bible Talk. Hi, this is Rich Hormerez.
And I'm Bobby Hamlin. And of course, we're here with Pastor Joe. Now, we've taken a little detour as Pastor Joe, who is Jewish by birth, continues to share about how Jesus made himself known to him as the true Messiah. Now, if you like, you can listen to the beginning episodes. Just go to the Bible Talk page and all the programs are listed there. The whole story is fascinating. But we'll bring you up to date. We left off where Joe had graduated from high school in New Jersey. He joined the Marines, and he'd worked his way up to the rank of sergeant as a rifle instructor. Now, during a discussion with a fellow officer, Joe had been challenged about his Jewish faith, and that's where we'll pick up his story.
That Mormon pulled out a Bible and read Scripture. Doesn't it come to mind to you that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God? It doesn't matter where it comes from, but it's God's Word that's speaking to you, that indeed God was using His Word from the Bible to speak to you.
Oh, yeah. In my case, God used the word to bring about deep conviction of sin. But in the Mormon's case, or in the case of the Pharisees in the Bible, the word of God could be a savor of death unto death. When some people hear the word of God, it will condemn them and it will expose their guilt in the last day by reminding them that they heard the word, but they were not convicted by it, they were not awakened, they were not given understanding from the word about God and how to be saved. So in the case of this Mormon, he was reading the Bible like the Jews did, and they didn't get a spiritual understanding which would lead to their conversion. As Jesus said to the Pharisees in John 5, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me." So the Pharisees read the Bible and studied the Bible all day long, off and on, but they didn't have understanding. The Holy Spirit must give you understanding, as Jesus says in John 6. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And so we also read, when the Spirit of God is come, he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. So in the Mormon's case, he was just reading the Bible like a religious book, but it didn't lead him to an understanding of the true Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would save him.
But it does bring hope where God's Word is located. Sometimes in a hotel, there's a Gideon's Bible there. People will pick up that Bible and read from God's Word, and the Lord will use His Word to draw them to Himself. But in your case, you were questioning. You heard something from the Scriptures that kind of sparked your attention and caught your heart to really search this thing out. How do we answer these things?
Well, I just followed my logical thoughts one step at a time. The next thing that came up that I was curious about or just compelled me to ask about, well, if that is the case, if there's no heaven and hell, as the rabbi said, why am I here in this world? As the Bible teaches, let us then just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. What's the purpose of life? But at the time, I'm still on the phone, and the guys are getting more rambunctious in the background. And when he said to me, the Jews don't believe in heaven or hell, I couldn't believe it, because I remember as a little boy, even as back as 3 and 4 years old, that far back I can remember, when my grandmother would babysit sometimes, before she came in, I threw my bottle. Back then they had glass bottles.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
With milk, and it busted all over the floor. So she comes running in. She hears a big bang, and she slips on the milk and falls down on her bottom. And I start laughing as a baby, and then she looks at me, and she starts crying. And then I started crying, you know, I'm sorry, Nanny, you know. But she was so patient and loving. I was very close with my grandmother. And she would always tell me, Joey, now be a good boy or you won't go to heaven. She would not spank me. She would not get angry with me. But she would correct me. So fast forward to that conversation. I was 20 years old. The next month I would have been 21 in June of 1976. I said to myself, why is my grandmother instilling the concept of heaven and hell in my mind from as far back as I can remember? But now this rabbi, who I respect hugely, is telling me there is no heaven and hell. So the two most respected religious people in the world to me are getting me really confused because of their contradictory statements about the afterlife. So I'm so confused, and the guys are getting louder in the background, and I'm saying, Rabbi, okay, I have some really important questions I need to get answered, and I need to ask you. I'll get back to you. So we said goodbye. So I turned around. Meanwhile, just before I turned around, you know, tears are coming to my eyes. You know, I'm really confused. And I'm like, so the one thing that Marine sergeants don't do is cry. So before I turned around, I had to fight back the tears. They didn't come out of my eyes yet, but I had to fight them back. And so I did. I swallowed hard. I turned around, and they said, okay, what is it? So I gave them the answer that the rabbi gave me. Okay, the answer is the plurality represents God and the angels, and which to you and me now is not plausible because angels don't create. You know, where God said, let us create man in our image after our likeness. Only God created man. The Lord Jesus Christ created us. So, but who am I to argue with a rabbi? You know, I just wanted to get an answer. Sure. I wasn't looking for the truth. So I went back and I gave them the answer. The Mormon responded, said, wait a minute. And he was trying to argue with me. And I said, forget about it. And I just ran for the door because tears were starting to come and I couldn't hold them back anymore. And I busted out of that door and I ran to my car as fast as I could. Meanwhile, the Mormon is following about 30, 40 yards behind me, running very fast, saying, Jackowitz, get back here. And the other guys are coming to the door, you know, and I got to my car, I opened the door real quick, and I slammed it shut, and I closed the door lock, and just then the Mormon got there, right at that time, and he starts banging on the window of my car. Get back in here, he says. We're not finished with you yet. And so I just turned the car on, and I burned rubber out of there. And my mind was so far from that situation. So at that point, I just started to drive aimlessly down the road, not even caring where I was going. I just drove around, probably 100 miles away. I just drove for like 2 hours, just weeping and crying, and because my whole entire life was pinned on the hopes that the Jewish religion was the only true religion, and that if you're a Jew by birth, you're automatically entitled to heaven if you're a blue-blooded Jew, you know. And the entire rug of my religion was swept out under my feet in terms of my confidence and my hope that Judaism by itself would give me a badge that would earn me a place in heaven. So I had to start from scratch, and I didn't know where to start. You know, there's hundreds, thousands of different religions in the world. Each one of them says we have the truth and all the other ones are wrong. Which one am I to believe is the truth? Who am I to be the standard of judging the truth between one religion or another? Of course, my place of safety was always Judaism, and Jews have two fears of leaving Judaism for another religion. The first is what their family would say, especially conservative and Orthodox Jews. They're very loyal to their family. And so one fear that keeps them from going to another religion would be the reaction of their family. And the second fear is, what if these other gods are the wrong God, and you die, and the Jewish God, the God of the Jews, is the true God, and but you've renounced him for another God or another religion, what is God going to say? So that's the second fear that holds Jews back from leaving Judaism. So those two fears were really at work in me. Here I am, still in the car driving now. So finally I pulled over. And I said to myself, what am I going to do? So again, logic kicked in. I said, okay, let's start with what you know, Joe. Okay, so I started with the question, what do I know is true? So after a few minutes, I searched in my mind, and everything about God that I could possibly think about that I learned from my classes in the temple, everything people told me about God, everything my own conscience taught me about God, if I didn't have any evidence, I rejected it. So I ended up with only two things in the end that I knew for sure were absolutely correct about God. And they were really not based on too much evidence. Most of it was instinctive, but I would bet my life on these two things. Number one, I believe with all my heart that God existed. Too many things happened in my life where I got into trouble or I had difficult situations come up where I prayed and I went to God alone for help and somehow the issue resolved itself or I got out of trouble. I remember one time when I was about 15 years old, 14 years old, my brother lied about me to our stepdad. And I was punished for a whole month during the summertime. Now, if you're like me, you know, you really covet your summers, especially since you only have 2 months off and you're in school and you hate school. Finally, summertime comes along. But my brother got me in trouble, and a whole month of my summertime was taken away.
Wow.
And he lied about me. And he's snickering, and he's, you know. So I pleaded with my mother and father. I said, Roger's lying. I didn't do that. I didn't do it. And they hardened their hearts against me, and they wouldn't believe me. So I was left to just praying to God alone. I said, God, you know the truth. You know I didn't do it. So I was on the second floor. My bedroom was on the second floor of our house. So I tied my sheets together and I lowered myself out of the window at night. Must have been midnight when everyone was sleeping. And I went to this open field about a quarter of a mile away from my house where I used to go to at night, where I would just pray whenever I had a burden or a problem. And that particular night, there was not a cloud in the skies. There was no ambient light to reduce the stars from just popping through the night sky. And I remember looking up, and there was such a heavy sense of the presence of God. And I began to cry like a baby and pray and say, God, you know the truth. Please get me out of this trouble. And that was the first day of my punishment. And so the next morning, as soon as I woke up, my father called me down and he said, Joe, he says, your punishment is off. You're okay to go out now. I don't even know if I thank God. Maybe if I forgot about the whole thing, I didn't even care to thank God. But I remembered those times when somehow, by God's grace, I got out of trouble. So it was the only thing I knew to do was to pray to God. So I went to God and I said, God, I don't know anything about you except that you exist. And the second thing that I knew for sure, the only other thing, was I just knew that instinctively that God would not create men and women without a way of finding the truth on how to find heaven and how to know that your sins could be forgiven when you die. I just knew that there was truth out there somewhere. The truth is out there somewhere, and I just needed to find it. I did not renounce Judaism, though. I did not leave the religion of my fathers, because I felt, you know, I'm going to be smart, right? I'm going to be a smart Jew. I said, look, I'm going to try to get the best of both worlds here. I don't know anything about God, but I'm going to stay as a Jew, because what if I die and then the God of the Bible, the God of the Jews, calls me and I'm still faithful as a Jew, then I'm okay.
Are many who are walking in various religions that feel that same way, that they're searching, but yet they still want assurance or insurance that their original faith is holding true, whether they come from a Catholic background or whether they come from an Islamic background. This is the same for them. They want to hold on, but yet there's those questions within them that they ask.
Right, and the objective is to get to heaven after you die, that life is going to go on. That's the objective of all religions, is to get there. It isn't to find out whether Jesus is the Son of God or not. It's what's going to get me to heaven.
You're listening to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Now, perhaps you have a question you would like to ask. You can do just that by simply emailing us at firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. You can also send in your request to First Love Radio, P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568, or simply go to the Contact Us section on our webpage and ask your question there. And be sure when you contact us to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. We'll repeat this contact information at the end of our program. For now, let's rejoin Rich, Bobby, and their talk with Pastor Joe.
So, still driving, parked on the side of the road with only two things. I said, I believe in God, but I'm not going to bring my presuppositions or preconceived ideas about God to this place I'm at now where I need to find the truth about God once and for all. So, I said in prayer, I said, God, I'm just going to pray to you. Whoever you are, whoever it is, whoever she is, I know you're out there. Whoever you are, you're out there somewhere. You could be a rock, you could be a wood, you could, whatever you are, I know you're there. So I began to pray to him. And I kept praying day in and day out for seven straight days. God, show me the truth. Show me the truth. Day and night, it was like an obsession. I was so filled with this desperate desire to know that my sins would be forgiven, to know that I would be in heaven when I die. And I just kept praying to the God, my creator. I didn't assume it was the God of the Jews. I didn't leave Judaism, but I didn't assume the God of the Jews was the true God. I came objectively and open-minded to God. I cast away all my former ideas about God and just started from scratch and didn't impose my own former ideas about God on him anymore. I said, whoever you are, reveal the truth to me and I'll believe it. And I didn't think that I was a good judge of what was truth. And I wasn't about to start a search religion by religion. That could last 100 years, 1,000 years, and I still could never find the truth. Within Christianity alone, there are hundreds of denominations. If I had 10 lifetimes, I wouldn't necessarily find the truth if I just went organization by organization. So I took a shortcut. I went directly to God, and I encourage people to do that instead of getting discouraged and turned off by trying to find God through religion, organized religion. Go directly to God.
Sure.
I did.
Well, you know, the scriptures tell us to do that. In Isaiah, the Old Testament, Isaiah 55, verse 6, the Lord said, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near, and he was near to you."
Right, and call upon him directly. And if God is who he says he is, he can speak for himself.
Yes, so beginning that moment when I was sitting in the car for the next week, day and night, every waking moment that I had a chance to pray, I called upon him and I kept repeating it over and over and over again. It wasn't a mantra, it wasn't a formula, but it was heartfelt and sincere. Show me the truth, God, and I'll believe it. Show me the truth. But God, I want you to give me proof, full proof, evidence that it is the truth, because as a Jew, many Jews are very streetwise and they're discriminating, and they look underneath the rug. And I really wanted to make sure that when God showed it to me, and I believed by faith that he would show me the truth, because he doesn't play games with us, he doesn't tease us, that he would show it to me. So day and night, I'm praying. I was so desperate to find the truth, for example. I was a rifle instructor, and that particular week, I had a class of 300 hardened Marines before me. And while I was teaching them classes about how to shoot their rifle, while I was speaking in front of those 300 Marines, I was praying at the same time, God, show me the truth. It was amazing. I was so desperate. During lunch that day, I went out to my car. I didn't even eat lunch. I just laid on the front seat of my car, locked the door, drove to a private place where I could pray. And when I was done praying, or actually crying, because I cried the whole time, weeping, I took this little bottle of Visine that took the red out of your eye. I used to use it when I smoked pot, you know. I would clear the redness out of my eyes so these Marines wouldn't think while I'm teaching classes that, who is this lunatic? But I took that bottle of Visine out to take the redness out from my tears of repentance and my godly sorrow seeking the Lord. So after a whole week, one day, in our job, we were assigned in pairs of instructors to teach a class for that two-week period. And my partner that week was the Mormon, Jericho, Sergeant Jericho. So he was talking with another Marine, trying to help that Marine with something. And so I walked up on their conversation because I had to talk with Jericho about work. And they were talking, Jericho and this Marine, and I didn't want to be rude, so I was just waiting for their conversation to finish. And I couldn't help but overhear what they were talking about. In that conversation, this other Marine was trying to persuade Jericho that God is a Trinity. And I'm saying to myself, well, wait a minute. How'd they get on this conversation? We're here to train and practice our shooting positions. And I was listening to the conversation, and this 19-year-old Christian corporal was explaining to Jericho that God is a Trinity. And Jericho was the very one who told me that God is plural, the us and the our of Genesis 1:26, but he did not have a correct understanding of the Trinity. And this other Christian was trying to help him out. And suddenly, Jericho says to this 19-year-old Christian, he says, look, don't tell me this stuff about the Trinity. At least I believe in Jesus Christ. Tell him. And he points to me standing there. He's a Jew. He doesn't even believe in the Trinity. And then Jericho walks away, leaving me standing there with this 19-year-old baby Christian. His name was Bob Price. He had only been saved for 8 months.
Wow.
And I'm just about to walk away and follow Jericho because, you know, I wasn't there to talk about religion. I had forgotten temporarily about my prayer, you know, God, show me the truth, right? So I didn't want to be rude. So I said to the Marine, I said, look, Bob, I said, you show me in the Old Testament where Jesus is God, and I'll believe it. The one question I chose, which I felt would be the hardest question I could ask him that he could not possibly prove.
And that's what it comes down to, isn't it? Is Jesus God?
And this was the young Christian.
This was the young Christian, 19 years old, 8 months as a believer. So he says, okay, you got a minute? And I'm like, oh boy. So here's another one with a pocket Bible. He takes his Bible out of his pocket, but this time a Christian takes his Bible out of his pocket. And the only reason why I asked him that question, I didn't mean a word that I said. I was facetious. I was not sincere. I just wanted to get rid of this young man and go back to what I was doing with this Sergeant Jericho. So he took me to a lot of messianic passages. He took me to Isaiah 7 and verse 14, where we read, behold, the Lord himself shall give Israel a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And I thought to myself, wow, I mean, where did that come from? I went to Hebrew school for many years, but I never saw that before in the Bible. And he shows me, and I'll never forget, he used his finger And he insisted on showing me these verses in my own Bible. And remember, I prayed to the Lord and I said, God, give me full proof evidence of the truth when you show me the truth. And I could not argue with my own Bible, the Jewish Bible, the Old Testament, the 39 books of the Tanakh, the Old Testament. And then he took me to Isaiah 9:6, where we read, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son, capital S, is given, and they shall call his name Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." I couldn't believe it. They're going to call the Son, who I didn't even think was in the Old Testament, the second person of the Trinity. They're going to call his name the Prince of Peace, which I heard that term thrown around as a non-Jew among the Gentiles. And then he took me to Isaiah chapter 53, which is a gospel in itself, where we read amazing things about the Messiah. And my understanding of the role of the Messiah was completely changed at that time, because I thought the Messiah was to come as some military king or dictator to destroy the Romans and the Arabs and all of the enemies of the Jews and set up some physical kingdom on earth with the Messiah on the throne to rule with an iron fist. But he showed me in Isaiah chapter 53 that the Messiah is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And so I'm listening to these words, and my heart is soaking in these truths, and suddenly a light bulb went on, and it was like a voice from heaven. Not really, not an audible voice, but a voice from heaven said to me, "Joe, you've been praying to me all week long to show you the truth, and now I'm showing you the truth about Jesus, about the Messiah, that he is Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, and he came, and you've been blind all these years, but I'm opening your eyes now and showing you that Jesus is the Messiah of the Jews as well as the Savior of the Gentiles."
And when the truth comes to you, you know it, don't you? If the Lord is opening your eyes.
Yes, I knew that God had answered my prayer, but I had so many other questions, and I was still even more confused.
An amazing answer to prayer. And we'll pick it up from there next time as we continue with how our Lord was beginning to remove the veil of darkness and make himself known to Joe. So join us then.
If you would like to ask questions of Pastor Joe or share your comments, you can contact us by email, firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. You can also write to us at First Love Radio, Post Office Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. That's P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. 94568 is the zip code. Or simply go to our Contact Us section on our webpage to ask your question. And be sure, whenever you contact us, to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. And please remember that First Love Radio is supported solely by God's faithfulness as He inclines the hearts of friends like you to offer your support. Again, we're delighted to have you join us today. We would encourage you to come back at the same time tomorrow and invite a friend to listen to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe.